Okay, before we go, yesterday I made a quick attempt to explain the Chatzi Shir, which is Asa Min HaTaira, can be understood either that it's a simon or a simba. And I saw afterwards that I lost many of you. I'm afraid that when I start saying simon and simba, people are going to turn off. I'd like to make an attempt. It's like one of the rules that you're not supposed to do. When you explain something and people don't stop, you're not supposed to try again. Except that the concept of simon and simba is so basic that I would like to make another attempt to explain to you. And please try just to chap. It's something either you chap or you don't chap. It's a very little gray area. Explain what simon and simba mean and what they mean in the context of Chatzi Shir. And as I started to say yesterday, it's a very basic yesidistic set of chakiris that have to do with Chatzi Shir wherever Chatzi Shir is at. So listen carefully. I'd like to explain to you what it means, simon and simba. It's like, you know, listen once, I'll try to explain it well, and if you'll chap or you won't chap, okay? Let's say I'm in a room and a bell goes off. Alarm goes off. So I run out of the room. Someone says, "Why are you leaving?" I tell them the fire alarm went off. There must be a fire in the building. So I'm leaving the building. So why are you leaving? Because the bell is ringing. If I say I'm leaving because the bell is ringing, the bell's ringing is a siba for my leaving, or it's a simon? Is the bell's ringing the reason I'm leaving, or is it a simon of something which makes me leave? In that case, it's a simon, not a siba, of a haraya. Let's say the fire alarm goes off, and I sit there, say, "Oh, the fire alarm went off, I'm leaving the building." And you say, "Why?" I say, "The bell went off." So you tell me, "No problem, I'll just pull out the cord. And the bell, you know, I'll rip out the electric cord, and the bell won't ring. Is that going to stop me from leaving?" It's not going to stop me from leaving, because the bell is not the siva, the reason I'm leaving. It's just a simin for something which makes me leave. Right? On the other hand, if I'm in a room and the bell goes off, and I say I'm leaving, I say, "Why are you leaving?" So I tell you, I get a headache. The bell is ringing so loud, it gives me a headache. That's why I'm leaving. So then the bell's ringing is a simon or it's a siba? Yeah. Then the bell's ringing is a siba, a raya. What's the raya that it's a siba? If you tell me you'll pull out the electric cord and I'll stop ringing and I could stay, then I'll stay. Right? So in the first example, where the bell's ringing is a fire alarm, it's a simon. All it is a simon. In the second example, it's a siba. How could you tell what's an afkamina, simon, siba? Very simple. If you remove the thing itself, will that stop my reaction? If it's a simon, then stopping the simon is not going to stop me from leaving. If it's a siba that I'm leaving, then by removing it, you change the whole equation. By removing it, then I won't leave. So that you all understand, right? That this is between a simon and a siba. Now, to apply it, the Torah said, "I'm not allowed to eat a kazayis of neveira." Now, that aveira is not on the last mashu of the kazayis; it's the whole kazayis. And if someone eats half a kazayis by this and half a nezid, he's potter. The aveira is the whole kazayis, the first half and the second half. That's pashut. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. He teaches me, "You're not allowed to eat a kazayis of neveira." So I start clearing. Can I eat a half a kazayis of neveira? Or can I not eat a half a kazayis of neveira? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells me, "You can't eat the whole kazayis. You can't eat half a kazayis." Why? Because the language is kazi litzarufe. That means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Don't eat this kazayis." The issue is on the whole thing, including the first half. The first half of the kazayis is chazi litzarufi. It's right to be mitzarif to the second half. Now, when I have this rule that I'm not allowed to eat, I'm certainly not allowed to eat half a kazayis. Why? Because of chazal etzaruf. I can understand it two ways. What does Moshe Rabbeinu mean? Is the first half of a kazayis aser because if I eat the second half, the first half is an avera? Oh, it's a siba. Siba meaning that since if I eat the first half and then I eat the second half, the first half is an avera. So the siba for the reason that this is aser is because it in fact is part of the whole kazayis, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu aser. So that the Sibas HaAveira is Chazil HaSarufei. Since it's part of the whole Kezayis, it's part of this Adairaisa that Moshe Rabbeinu was told we can't eat. So that's the Sibas, because it could be a whole Kezayis. Where do I say, no, it's just a Simen. It's a Simen, the Rabbi Hashem didn't want me to eat it, because for Haraya, he said, don't eat, if I don't eat the whole thing, so every part of it must be also us. So right away it gets confusing. What's the difference? Sim and Siba, it's the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't eat it, so I can't eat any part of it. What's the difference if I call it a Simen? What's the difference if I call it a Siba? The difference is the same difference as the ringing bell. If I say I'm walking out because the bell was ringing. So you don't know, is that a Simen to me or is that a Siba? So how can you tell? You tell me, I'll pull out I'll disconnect the electricity, it won't ring. Will you still leave? If I say, I thought he came, I'm leaving, then obviously it's just a simon for something else. If I say, if you disconnect the bell, I'll stay, that means it's a simon. What do I do with Chatzis Shir? I try to disconnect the reason. The reason the Chatzis Zayis is Aser is Chazi L'Tzarufa. How do I disconnect Chazi L'Tzarufa? I'll tell you. I'm going to eat this Chatzis Zayis the last minute of Yom Kippur. I asked Moshe Rabbeinu, can I eat this half a Zayas or half a Gregorius, whatever Chatzis Shir is, the last minute of Yom Kippur? Now, I disconnected your reason. Your reason, Chazlitz Darufa, it could become a whole Kazayas. It can't become a whole Kazayas. Right now, it's the end of Yom Kippur. It's the end of Pesach. I'm eating a Chatzis Zayas at the end of Pesach. I'm removing the Chazlitz Darufa reason. The side of the difference when you use a language simon asiba just means if I take away the reason, does the issa remain? If I say that I can't eat chatzis ayis chazlis terufi, that's a simon. Hashem doesn't want me to eat it. So then, even if you take away chazlis terufi, if you disconnect the bell, still it's a simon. Hashem doesn't want me to eat it. You can remove the reason, but if it's a simon, then it remains that way, even if you take away the reason. Well, it's a simon to a problem. The chazir teruvah is just a simon that Hashem doesn't want me to eat it. Rasha'en came, if the reason I can't eat the half a zayis is because it's a siba, the reason is because it could come to a whole kazayis. Every siba, if you remove the siba, if you take away the siba, then there's no problem. So if you're going to find me a place I can eat at the last minute of Pesach or last minute of, you disconnect. If the Aveira is that it's a, that what I would call it a Siba, the Chazir L'Tzarufa is a Siba line, if you remove it, so then I could eat it. That is the cloud of the difference between Simon and Siba. The difference when you call something that this is a Simon I can't eat it, or a Siba I can't eat it. If you disconnect, you take away the reason, does the problem remain, or does the problem not remain? If something is a simon to an aveira, then disconnecting it is not going to help you. Still, it's only a simon. You're going to take away the simon, it's not going to change anything. Siba means this is the cause. If I take away the cause, then the entire problem vanishes. Then it becomes mutter. That's the side of the difference between simon and siba. Simon means it's just a simon. There's really a bigger problem. There's a totally different problem. This is just a simon to it. Siba is that this is gufa the problem. This gufa is the problem. If you go for a blood test, they come back and they tell you that there's not enough iron in your blood. So that's a problem. Not enough iron. So what do? You take more iron. You have a problem anymore. What was the whole problem? The problem was that there's not enough iron. That's the problem. So you rectify the problem. if you go take a blood test and then they find that there are too many white blood cells, so you say, no problem, just remove white blood cells. That's not true. There's nothing unhealthy about having a lot of white blood cells in your blood. But the simon that there's something wrong, there's something in your body going on wrong, there's an infection somewhere. Certain problems are a simon, and certain problems are a SIBA. If a problem is a simon, removing the simon is ridiculous. You have too many white blood cells, you say, okay, we'll take out some blood. That's ridiculous, it doesn't solve the problem. He doesn't have enough vitamins, he takes some vitamins. It does solve the problem. That's it. In every problem, ruba de ruba isurim that have a reason. It's a siva. Ruba de ruba, it's a siva. There are cases where it's a simon. The difference between simon and siva is this. If you appreciate it, it's a very simple hagdara into the question of why a certain result comes from a certain cause. Is that really the cause? Or is it only a simon to a cause? That's like a fellow who's working in a plant, right? And the clock hits 12 o'clock, it's lunch break. And someone says, why'd you stop working? He says, because the two hands of the clock are pointing up. So that's ridiculous. Does it make any sense? Because the clock's two hands point up, you have to stop working. Does it make any sense at all? Right? Make any sense? Teretz is not, it's talking about the Siba. It's just a simon that it's lunchtime. It's not the Siba. It's not the reason you didn't stop working, because hands of a clock point up, it means you stop working. It's just a simon that it's a certain time. Certain things are just simonim for other things. And you know, if that's the problem, so you stop working, the hands of the clock are pointing up, fine, I'll turn the clock sideways, and you can keep on working. That makes sense. Something's a simon, you can't remove it and change the fact. That's the site of simon and siva. Anytime it comes up, you just have to plug it into a muscle. If you plug it into a muscle, whichever muscle, the bell ringing, or the clock, or the blood, any muscle, you'll have a good havana of the difference between simon and siva. If you remove the reason, does that solve the problem? So that's the aside I've done. Okay, getting back to our sugya here in Gittin. We had here a brief sugya of kachin of Hamagdishi de Avdai, and we had Rashi's chiddush that ein hegdish chal al pochus mishava pruta. Taisus disagrees. As I told you earlier in this parak, first parak of Gittin has a lot of sar yediyas. Every blot shas has side ideas, but the first parak of Gittin especially has a lot of side ideas here in the Taisusim. And here it's a side idea that Rashi holds ein hekdish chal v'pachas from shav apruta. Taisus holds hekdish is chal v'pachas from shav apruta if the person wants it to be. There's a Gemara in Krisus, Dafyur Amid Beis. It talks about a carbon mincha. Carbon mincha is a very inexpensive carbon, right? A certain carbonist, carbon oil of the yairid. A rich person brings an animal, a poor person brings birds, and a very poor person brings a mincha, a siras ha'if, a small amount of flour with oil. Gemara says you can have a carbon mincha that's worth less than a shava pruta. The ani comes and he says, oh, I think I bring a small amount of flour with a little bit of oil. It's worth less than a pruta. So the Gemara says, it's not nice. It's not nice to bring a carbon that's worth less than a pruta. What do you do about it? I'm not sure exactly. But if the Gemara says such a lashon increases, that it's not nice to bring a carbon worth less than a pruta. That Gemara is a raya to Rashi or kashan Rashi? Rashi says, ein hekdesh chal al pachas mishav a pruta. So that Gemara is a kasha and Rashi. It's a stira to Rashi. Or a sameach. The sameach is the kasha. That Gemara is klar that it's shayach hegdish pachas mishav a pruta. Because the Gemara says you can have a mincha stira saif a sailas with a little bit of oil. And that mincha is worth less than a pruta. And the Gemara says that really it's a mincha. Just, it's not nice. It's not the arachar. It's not the arachar to bring a carbon worth less than a pruta. But that's hegdish is chal on less than a pruta.
So to beferish a Gemara that it's chal on less than a fruit. This is the Arsa Me'as Kash. Now, before I get to the Arsa Me'as Teretz, if I asked you this kasha, sort of as a brain teaser, it's really an easy, logical way out of this kasha. Okay, again, here's your kasha. Ein hegdish chal pasim shavu prutim. The Gemara Krisis talks about somebody who brings some oil and flour. It's worth less than a prutah for a carbon. How can you possibly have it? Logically, there's a logical teretz. The carbon has to be hegdish. It's a very logical teretz. I'm sure somebody will think of it. No? Huh? No. No. Such a logical terrace, huh? You know that? What? That's not a logical terrace. You know what a cloth kasha is? It's a kasha that if you hear the terrace, you realize the kasha was ridiculous. I have to say that some ass kasha is ridiculous, but I don't know why nobody claps. As soon as I tell you, you'll agree with me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't understand the kasha. If I want to have let's say Rashi's right, it can't be magnus less than a shavu pruta. I want to bring in a serious saif. It's not worth a pruta. What would I do? Huh? I'll be magdish a pruta. I'll take eifa. I'll take this serious eifa. I'll take a chati eifa. What? But the kasha is there's no hechetimtza. There is a hechetimtza. I take flour that's worth a pruta. But he goes. He gets himself a pruta, and he buys a pruta's worth of flour, and then he takes half a pruta, and he's magdish when it's a pruta flour. Then he takes off half a pruta. Is it hegdish? The rest of it, he puts in shamus. What does he do with the rest of it? He puts in shamus. Makes a donation. If he wants, he could give the whole pruta. You're telling me it's not possible. It's impossible to have a serious seifa as a chatzi pruta. Why do you mean it's impossible? It's simple. You buy a full pruta's worth, and then you separate a chatzi pruta. Isn't it simple? What? Why not? It's all hegdish. I have a chatzi eifa, a flour that's hegdish. Now look up in the Torah. Torah says I have to bring an asira seifa. I separate an asira seifa. I bring it. Next time I do an aveira, I'll take the other asira seifa and I'll do it. The carbon asher. You know, I'll do it next time. I'll put it away. It doesn't become. Yeah, magdish it for just like an animal. You could say zuayla, flower. You could say zuhegdish. It's so simple. What? Rashi says it's ein hegdish chal al posim shavu. Correct our Sameach to Gemara Krisus that it's possible for Hegdish to be Chal. I don't understand. What do you mean? It's not such Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say you could be Magdish it. The Gemara says you could have flour worth less than a pruta, which is Hegdish. Of course you could. If you Magdish a sack of flour and then you separate a serious cipher, so you have Hegdish. Isn't it simple? No? I'll explain it to you. You don't agree with me? Can I ask you a question? In the United States of America, using only American coins, is it possible to own something, to go to the store and buy less than and if you walk out of the store, you're going to have less than a pruta of something? Is it possible? Is it possible for me to steal from you something worth less than a pruta? Assuming a penny is worth a pruta or more. Is it possible for me to steal something from you worth less than a pruta? Now,
get 105 for a dollar.
Yes. If you go to a store, let's say a penny is a pruta. How could you have here less than a pruta? You go into a store and you buy winkies that come for 10 cents. You get 15 winkies. So one winkie is worth less than a penny, right? Isn't it simple? I'll tell you another thing. The Michas Chinuch has the same problem. Michas Chinuch asks. He says aravis and arava cost less than a pruta. Halavai, right? He says, what's an arava? It's a branch, a worthless branch. He says, in his medina, it was worth less than a pruta. So he says, I have a kasha in the Rashba. The Rashba shita is, you can't make a kinyan on something worth less than a pruta. If you go into a store, you buy something less than a pruta, you can't make a kinyan. How can anybody ever own an Arava? Michatzimah says, Aravis, you can't own Aravis. You go and you buy an Arava, like the Rajmas, less than a Pruta. How could you have an Arava? So I don't understand the Michatzimah. I can own an Arava. Let's say Aravis is firewood. For a dollar, you get a bundle of 1,000 of them. I go into the store, I buy a bundle for firewood of 1,000 Aravis. I pull out one. One is worth less than a Pruta. When I buy the bundle, I'm cutting the bundle, it's worth more. And now I take out an Arava, it's mine. I don't understand the kasha. What do you mean? You can't buy something worth less than a Pruta. You could if you're buying a big bundle and you take one out, so it's worth less than a Pruta. Why is the Kedusha Chal? Why? If Hegdish owns a big sack of flour, so the whole sack of flour is Hegdish. Each kernel of flour is worth less than a Pruta. But the sack is Hegdish. So I go, I need a mincha. How do I get a mincha? I buy a sack of flour in the store. I give a dollar, I buy a sack of flour. Now I say, okay, I go to Beis HaMikdash. I take the sack of flour. I say, I declare this entire flour a mincha for me. Harizu karba mincha. I go to the Beis HaMikdash. The client says, you don't bring the whole thing. You separate an Asira Saifa. I separate Asira Saifa. The rest. It's calling the whole thing. So I separate it. Oh, he's Hegdish? Why do you need a whole thing? Rashi only said, Ein Hegdish Chal al Pachas Mishav HaPutah. That means, Hegdish can't be Chal. You can't make something Hegdish less than a Putah. What's it Chal on the whole thing? Every bit of it is Kadosh.
Rashi only, I think, a little bit, and say this is Hegdish.
That's right, I make the whole thing.
But if you take a little thing.
Oh, so Rashi's right. If I take a little thing, Rashi's 100% right. If I take a little thing, it's not Hegdish. Rashi's right. But that's Shver from the Gemara in Krisus. The Gemara in Krisus, you could say it's cooking in a case. How did the flour become Hegdish? Simple. He bought a sack of flour, and he made the flour Hegdish, and now he's taking off an Asira Sefer for a carbon. Tomorrow, he'll have to bring another carbon, he'll take another Asira Sefer. If he won't, he'll put it aside till it spoils, and it'll spoil, he'll throw it out. Why can't I? What's wrong with taking a sack of flour and making an Hegdish? So I'm not. The Gemara doesn't say he made the Asira Sefer Hegdish. It says he's bringing a carbon of an Asira Seifa. How do you bring a carbon of Asira Seifa? Very simple. You magnish the whole Eifa, you bring a tenth of it. I don't understand. You could give a Kedusha before anything. I give a Kedusha. I say, Hari Zuwaila. And later I bring it to an island. The Gemara says that there were bakers in Yerushalayim used to bake chalas, l'shem taida, and then they sold it. They were a chayv of carbon taida. They baked it l'shem taida, and people came up to Yerushalayim. They needed a chalas taida. They bought it. Same thing. I'll take a sack. I'll be magdish l'shem mincha. Now I can't. Once it has kedusha, it has kedusha tamincha. So I'll bring a carbon. So I'll also bring a carbon. Anybody can bring a carbon for me. What's the problem?
No value. The chalas has no value. So once I start separating, loses the value.
It's a fun, it loses its value, but that doesn't mean Ein Hegdish Chal. It's not Ein Hegdish Chal. The Chalais was Chal. It became Hegdish. What makes it nice Hegdish? It's worth nothing. It doesn't make it nice Hegdish. Why isn't that? If I have Truma, you say the same thing. I have a sack of Truma. Now I take out less than a fruit of Truma. It's ice Truma. What made it ice Truma? If it, well, where did the Hegdish go? It doesn't have value, but it's not ice.
Rashi,
I don't care for the life of me how anybody can disagree with you. It sounds so simple to me.
According to Rashi, if you have a little thing,
it
doesn't show you that.
You have another little thing that's less than you can
have that. But together, we come back.
Right.
So the same thing
with
Rashi.
If you have something that's
a
Shabbat,
just like this.
Where'd it go? Where did
the Hegdish
go?
The Kedusha is
where?
Does Mana Hegdish
go? Well, where did Kedusha go?
It's Papa, just like the one.
You can't ask the Kasha on Rashi like that. I'll tell you, Rashi holds it's not Papa. All Rashi said is Ein Hegdish Chal al Pachas Mishav HaPutah. You can't tell me Rashi holds if you separate it's Papa. Where do you see that in Rashi?
It's not there. It's still not Hegdish.
Ein Hegdish Chal al Pachas Mishav HaPutah. That's what Rashi says.
Just like on Bezdin is Miayish.
But Chai al Hegdish al
Pachas Mishav
HaPutah.
It's the same thing.
How is Miayish? Miayish is Miayish. That's not a proof to this.
Doesn't
They give a kedusha, a carbon. I guess the dominant is still there. Look, you want to learn the Mishnah, we'll take out a Mishnah, learn the Mishnah. All I want to show you is that it's not a theorem. Let's say they gave it away. They gave it away, okay? They gave away the tithe, they gave away the baked carbon tithe, whoever needed, they gave it for free. Okay?
Let's see, Rabbi Shmuel, bring our eyes to here, when you make this act,
I don't mean a rai, I meant a marshal.
I tried to say, Rabbi says that you can go, and now you can take a little bit and make it for one animal, a little bit for another animal. I say to you, one animal, how is that oil? So that's one animal, I'm making that, when I want something, how is it? I'm saying,
right.
I'm setting this out as a kedusha.
No problem. No problem. A flower?
A flower.
Why does it want carbon?
Because if I said this, because once it becomes head, which happens, if I make it as one oil, then fine. But once
all right, so I'll put the rest of it in Seamus. I'll put the rest of the eighth in Seamus. Why should I do it? Who stops me?
Once I make it
head, yeah. So, you're telling me it's impossible to make two carbonates. I don't think what you're saying is true. If it's true, I'll put it in Seamus, that's all.
So two people do together.
I made a carbon.
Two people did the same thing. The guy that the whole people bring with me to bring the flask.
Why not?
That's not how it works. The way it worked was you went into the guy who was based on my
company. You could do it either way. It's not true. You didn't have to do it.
That was definitely
it. That was a doubt, but you could do it the other way too. You could bring your own flower. You could bring your own animal. You can't bring your own animal?
Animals
No, animals they sold also.
So they only sold the sheep.
But you can't bring your own sheep? Just because they sold it didn't mean you have to do it that way. It was convenience. It was a way to do it.
That was the way it was done.
I don't understand. I assume Robert's quiet agrees with me. I can't understand how I got a hard time with it. Huh? You don't agree with me that you can remind yourself of things? Okay? I don't know. So I'll tell you there are some ass tires. By the Michas Kinnach with the Aravis that you're masking. All your kashas have to do with kachin. The Michas Kinnach with the Aravis you're masking, that I'm right? Michas Kinnach says, how can you buy an Arava? If you're like the Rash, but you can't make a kinyan less than a fruta, how can you buy an Arava? So I would answer, well, if 1,000 Aravis is worth a fruta, I'll buy 1,000. And then I'll pull one out. Is that what you're masking? Huh? I'm saying, but he could do it. Can you catch them also this way? Huh? You have the other two with them, but my terrorist, you're masking, will be a good terrorist. I'm not worried about that. The Michas Finach is on me. Every person will have to buy a big bundle of aravis that are worth a pruta or more.
You have to buy a lot of flour and a lot of aravis.
It's not so much. A pruta is worth. We're not talking so much. A pruta is worth, right? One pruta is worth. How much flour is a pruta is worth? A serious safe is not a pruta is worth. One pruta?
Very poor.
So we'll come back up a collection for a pruta. We'll get how many people have to chip in for a pruta. If he's a poor person, then he has to bring a carbon. He's an minus. He can't bring it. If he has a pruta, he can.
Two people go and buy it, and then they both pick up.
Yeah, lachayr. Hekdish could be chal, so they could. Okay. All right. The what our Sameach answers is. It's not as serious what I said. What he says is, he just says that there's a concept of Kedushas Damim and a concept of Kedushas Haguf. It's not the Arsameach Kedush, it's the Gemara. The Gemara says that when you magdish a carbon, whether it's an animal, bird, flower, wood, salt, anything that goes on the Mizbeach, has Kedushas Haguf. It itself has Kedusha. And when you magdish something that does not go on the Mizbeach, if you magdish to the Beis HaMikdash cash, or you magdish a table, something that they're going to sell, what we call Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, that is Kedushas Damim. So there's Kedushas HaGuf, and there's Kedushas Damim. Those are the two types of Hekdush. Someone brings a sheep, he says, Harizu Kayesh, it becomes Kedushas HaGuf. If someone brings something that doesn't go on the Mizbeach, he brings to the Beis HaMikdash sugar, and he says, Hari Zu Hagdish, it doesn't go on the Mizbeach, they sell it. It has Kedushas Damim. Zakti Ar Sameach. Rashi says it has to be worth a pruta. He's talking only about things that are Kedushas Damim. Why? Because Kedushas Danim, what if Hekdesh do with it? They sell it. That's all they could do. Someone's paid it. Someone gives money and transfers the Kedusha onto money, and then the Beis HaMikdash has money for the things it needs. The only thing that Kedushas Adonim is good for is cash. Since it's only good for cash, therefore it has to be worth a pruta. That's a rational. However, something that has Kedushas Haguf, something that itself is brought in the Mizbeach, its purpose is not to be nifta, no one's going to be paid it. It's going to go on the Mizbeach. Kedushas Haguf, that could be chalid on less than a pruta. Because it could come to its purpose, it could come to its tafkid, even if it's worth less than a pruta. Its tafkid is to be a carbon. So therefore, it could fulfill its tafkid. Masha'enken, Kedushas Donim, what's the tafkid of Kedushas Donim that you should be paid it? Since Pachas Mepruta can't be paid it, there's no Pachas Mepruta. There's no transaction involving less than a pruta. So it's any royal opinion. So that's why Rashi says, "Ein hekdesh chal al pachas b'shava pruta," because there has to be royal opinion.
We play this together with something else.
That's a good question. Okay, one second. This is what says the Yosemech. The Yosemech is a knech. There's a mandiyomer in the Gemara that says that you can only be paid the hekdesh if it's worth at least four prutas. Why does it have to be worth four prutas? Is the din by pidyon that you pay the hekdesh, you're maisav chaymish. You have to add a fifth. A fifth, we would call it a quarter. It's a fifth milbar. In other words, something's worth four prutis, you give hekdesh a profit of 25%, you give them five prutis. A fifth of what you give is the extra, and four fifths is the payment. There's a man yarmah in the Gemara, it's a machlaikis, there's a man yarmah in the Gemara, that you can only be paid the things from the hekdesh if you paid it with a taisvis of a pruta, of a chaymish, which is a pruta. Therefore, it has to be worth four prutas. So after a sameach, Rashi holds, ein hegdish chal apochis mishav a pruta. Hegdish has to be a pruta, it has to be a royal opinion. Like the other man, the Omar, it'll have to be worth four prutas. Because the ikar is, it has to be a royal opinion. So like some tanoim, it'll be one pruta. Like other Tanoim, four prutas, and then it'll be royal looking. That's the Arsameach's side. Kedushas Haguf is chal no matter what. Kedushas Damim, has to be royal looking. What do we gain? After Arsameach, we gain to answer a second kasha. First of all, we answer the kasha from Croesus. So the Gemara in Croesus is talking about Kedushas Haguf. Secondly, Tosfos asks the kasha on Rashi that Chomesh Prutas saying that the Mishnah Bava Metzia counts five things that are Tali and Pruta. Why doesn't it count this as well? That a Hegdish has to be a Pruta. That's a fifth thing that's Tali and Pruta. After the Asameach, Rashi will say, that Mishnah is going like these Tanoim, who hold that it has to be worth four Prutas. The Mishnah is listing things that are a Pruta Lukuliyama. Hegdish? Like some, it's a pruta. Like some, it's five. It has to go with four prutas. So it's not true that hegdish is always a pruta. Since it's not true that hegdish is always a pruta. Sometimes it's an extra, it's four prutas. That's why it's not counted in the Mishnah, and therefore everything is good. That's how the Arsameach answers both kashas. Again, as you say, it is that why is Kedushas Damim not chal? Because it has to be Roy Leptia. That's why ain hegdish chal pachas mepruta, because there has to be royal opinion. So Yankee is asking a good kasha. According to what I said before, l'chayru this would be royal opinion. No, someone is magdish less than a pruta worth of flour, worth of no flour is kedusha go. He's worth magdish less than a pruta of the work of an Eben Kenani or of sugar. Or of metal, he's magdish less than a pruta. So Kedushas Haguf, so Rosh Hashanah says, now royal opinion. Well, it is royal opinion if you throw it in with the rest of the sugar that the hegdish happens to have. You throw it in with the rest of things which the hegdish happens to have. You magdish one piece of paper, it's not worth a pruta. Hegdish can put it together with other paper and make a package out of it and sell it. It is royal opinion. So I don't know. It's a good kasha. It's the same kasha that I wanted to answer his Dor Sameach in the first place, that it's roi together with other things. So yes, you have teretz, it's roi together with other things. Nice
days. So you can't delete something that's irredeemable. So you can't delete it, but once it's donated, you can be played with it.
In other words, Hegdish is not chal on something that you can't be paid. We had a similar thing. We had, you know, we once had by Eva Kanani, that when Yovel's not Nayiv, there's no Eva Kanani. Why? So the Eva Kanani has to be right to go out with Yovel. So if it's not right to go out with Yovel, can't become an Eva Kanani. It's not Eva. So the same thing here. We'll say, if it itself can't be Nifta, so it itself can't become Hegdish. Maybe it has to be Nifta by itself. According to Rashi, you should be able to redeem 0.8 of it. It's redeemable. So you're going to have to pay a pruta when you redeem it. Later, Sameach is saying you look at what you're paid it with. If it's 0.8 of a pruta, it should be redeemable because I'm going to give a pruta to redeem it. Maybe you're right. I'm not sure how the Tosfos Chaimish works. This pshat that I'm redeeming it with that extra Chaimish also, this pshat I'm redeeming it with 0.8 of a pruta, and besides that I have to give a gift to Hegdish of 0.2. So it depends how technically it works. I don't know. It's kachim. Lashem Zikim, I don't know. Kachim, I certainly don't know. The question is how that okay. Next sugya is a 7 or 8 line sugya. I'd like to impress on you that there's a big yisoid, an underlying issue that we're going to spend time on Sunday. I'd like you to understand the issue because I hope you'll take the time to learn the Rebbe Chanan and the fair amount of argument there is over Rebbe Chanan's yisoid. The underlying question is this question. Now again, we're jumping to a totally different sugya. We're jumping to a Bava Kama sugya. That's the next sugya. The question is, by replay, if I am mazik someone, Chalila, and I have to pay his doctor bills, we can understand it two ways. Ruvein went to Shimon and he cut it. He gave him a cut and Shimon has to go get stitches. Ruvein is chayiv for rapa yirapa. He has to pay for ripa. Now, the two tzadim here I think are very clear. Is it A, there's a certain payment Ruvein has to make to Shimon. What's the payment? He owes him the cash for ripa. Ripa of stitches costs whatever it costs $500, gotta pay him $500. Or, choice B, he doesn't have to pay you to pay a penny. All he has to do is make sure he gets healed. Now, if healing costs money, so he has to pay for the doctor bills. He doesn't owe him cash. He owes him an obligation to heal him. He's gotta heal him. The rapa yirapa, he's gotta heal him. Which of the two is correct? What be an afkamina? Huh? If who picks the doctor? Okay. He is a doctor. Okay. The chayyim will be an afkamina. Or no, I'm saying something that could be healed. We're talking. We refer to replays when you could heal.
He has some money.
Why would
he have some money?
The simplest afkamina would be if. Let's say he cuts it. And now he stitches, he says, okay, I pay a doctor bills. The next morning, this person wakes up in the morning, he's ready to go to the doctor, and he's walking in the street, and a rock falls and kills him. Now you don't have to heal him anymore, you don't have to stitch him up anymore. Does this person now have to pay the Yarshim the $500? If he owes him Tashlumin, so he owes him Tashlumin. So he died. So he starts to pay him for $500. Or, no, he only has to heal him. If there are no doctor bills. So lucky him, you know, the guy died, so now he doesn't have to pay. Now he's off the hook. This is Rabbi Chanan's class. The Rabbi Chanan is in two places. It's here on Gittin, in Kodesh Shurim Chelet Beis, on Gittin, Ois Yud Aleph. You should see it there first. And then go to Ksubis, Ois Reish Yud Ches. And we could claim maybe by Yeshevis also, but one second. And then Rabbi Chanan himself brings it into a second shot. He brings it to a question of damages to a person's things a person owns. If you damage someone's vehicle, do you owe him tashlumin, or do you owe him? You have to pay for whatever it costs to repair it. This is a Maisa Shahaya with me. I once scratched someone's car. I opened my door in a parking lot and I scratched the person's car. Nice car. I left him a note on the windshield. He called me. Somebody I know. I told him, take it in. I'll pay for the fixing. He calls me back 2 days later. He says, "Lucky you. Yesterday, my wife was driving the car. She got into an accident. The whole door smashed in. We have to replace the whole door anyway. So now you're off the hook." So I argued with him. I said, "It's not true. I have to pay you anyway. I owe you. I did damage. I have to pay." So he said, "You don't have to pay. I mean, I'm not going to cost me anything." So the question is, who's right? The Rabbi Chanan, in this piece, I'm not making it up, you look in his Lashon, he talks about Tashlumei Achrayis. Tashlumei Achrayis means insurance. He talks about if you damage someone's car, and he has insurance, the insurance is going to pay. Do you owe him money anyway? And he's timely, he says, look, if it's a Chiyuv Tashlumin, I took your thing and damaged it. So I owe you. I damaged your vehicle. I owe you $500. If I have to pay whatever it costs to fix it, if it doesn't cost you anything to fix it, so why do I have to pay? It seems from Rabbi Chanan's Lashon that he's titled in this. Now obviously, this is a very, you say this because Inyan for Bava Kama, which Rabbi Chanan learns in this Gemara. So take a look at Rabbi Chanan. If the Rabbi Chanan's, the two Rabbi Chanan's, there's a fair amount of discussion, there's a big kasha from the sugi itself. It's the same kasha as in the Shurei Reb Shmuel. And in the Birchas Avram, Birchas Avram is in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Gimel, I believe. Here he tells you to look there. And basically anyone, Rav Nachum who brings it, everyone who brings it down, there's an amount of discussion over it. It's a very Kishmak Indian. I hope you'll come prepared on Sunday to argue with me about this.